Welcome to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. Our podcast exists to help people take their next step in Christ. Every disciple needs a plan in following after Christ. The road's not easy. The road's not always clear. Our hope is to provide simple resources to help people on the journey along the way.
Welcome back to the Discipleship Pathway Podcast. I'm Chris Kurtz, and we are here to help you take your next steps in Christ. I'm sitting here with Matt Dennings. We've been walking through the steward script. We've looked at overall, hey, why did we develop this? We've looked at what is a vision? How do you work through planning a vision? And we looked at priorities in the last podcast. And today we're going to be talking about planning. How do you actually take all these things we've talked about and actually get it into more actionable steps and more concrete, if you will? And so going to kick it over to Matt to give us a little overview of what are we looking at today that we're going to walk through.
If we want to get to a destination, we've looked at that overall vision, where we're going, and now we've looked at what are those areas that we're going to first focus on in order to get there, even those micro vision statements within that bigger vision statement, these areas we're prioritizing, we have to take the individual steps to get there, right? What's the old proverb? A journey begins with 1,000 steps or whatever. You know, like you have to take the individual steps. If you just aspire to something and just think on it and you don't perspire in terms of those individual steps, you will never get there. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very simple, short, it's the shortest of the sections. And I think it just gets right to the point, which is places like Proverbs 16:9, a man or villain or a woman plans a way in their heart, but the Lord establishes their steps. Mm. Okay, now we plan away in our heart. We followed, like, where does it seem like God? We're trying to discern that. We have a desire. We have passions. I really want to see this area flourish. We plan away in our heart. The Lord provides the steps. Yep. And so now we're going to start to put down what are those concrete, actionable steps we're going to take, anticipate taking, knowing that ultimately the Lord is the one, though, who's got to open the door. The Lord's the one who's ultimately going to have to provide the opportunities, keep that time open. And so this is the step where we go, okay, so what are we actually going to do?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. What I like about this step and the next step is it's really where the planning and the thought does become concrete. I would say it's also where it gets more difficult in the sense of, like, you kind of have reality in your way then too of, like, okay, you either have to make these choices in real life or not. You can't just stay in the, like, processing, what are we going to do? But this helps us get the steps to actually concretely take, which, again, what I'm saying there is it can be difficult. Like, I think this is where it gets kind of difficult. Like, oh, I actually have to do these things. I have to plan this. I have to get this in the schedule.
And here's where I have to be careful not to take the opportunity to go down a rabbit trail on this one, because there's so much space. You know, there's only so much we have to cover here.
Yeah.
And that is that over and over again, you know, we tend to have we tend to make a problem between two competing things, which is, okay, our choices, our agency, and then on the other hand, God's sovereignty. And we tend to say, well, is it some of us say, no, it's just all of our choices, it's all dependent upon us, blah 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 blah, and we have a very kind of low view of God's sovereignty. And then on the other hand, God's control, and what our control versus God's control, let's put it that way. So then on the other hand, some of us go, I want to have a more biblical, robust view of God being preeminent and sovereign, and so we have a very high view of God's control, and then we kind of go, and what's my part?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And then what we do is we make the mistake, the thing the Bible never does, which is we usually choose one side or the other, as if the Bible doesn't present both. The Bible, so we're getting really, we could go real deep theologically here, because we're hitting on, with planning, this issue of what is my role in relation to God's agency,
yep,
or God's control? My agency in relation to God's will, mm-hmm, and God's control. We're not going to go deeply theologically other than to say the best way to think about this and frame it is there's a term that this is an antinomy, which means that there are two truths 100% fully validated scripturally. You are culpable. You are responsible. You are an agent. On the other hand, God is sovereign. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Mm. Okay? This is what James says. When you're planning, be very careful that you're saying, I'll go do this and I'll go do that. But then he also says, so be very careful that you think you can be the sovereign and God can't intervene in that. Mm. But then on the other hand, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yep.
So also, hey, when you commit to something, when you plan something, do it.
Yeah.
Right? And don't blame God when you're like, I'm going to do that. Like, oh, well, God's doing that. So one of the things we have here, and we could have honestly expanded this. If I were to do another version, I would expand on this section, which is this chart. And this chart, actually, it came from, I remember we were processing this like 2 years ago, just pastorally. And one of our elders, Brandon Moore, he, before preaching on planning, he developed this chart that's in the book. Hmm. Actually, I probably should have a footnote in the book that it's him. So this is plagiarized from Brandon Moore, and I stole it. Now, I publicly said that, so Brandon can't come after me. Thank you, Brandon. So it has a 2x2 of planning postures, which is that our choice, like a high and low view of our choices don't matter, our choices do matter, versus then God is in control versus God isn't in control, right? And so it has kind of a 2x2 there, and it's kind of this idea of foolish versus wise plans. We see this again in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Psalms. There is a fool and there is a wise man. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the passages talk about the fool is the one who does not plan. Mm-hmm. The wise man is the one who does plan. And with that, having a certain disposition before God, right? And so what this does is this just talks about, like, when you live in that first one of our choices don't matter and God's not in control, that's it's this purposelessness, right? I'm not in control. God's not in control. Really, it's this external locus of control. The world around me is really what's in control. So I'm just adrift in the chaos of life. Mm. So whatever I do, purposeless. I can paddle around in circles, and that's the way we look at life. But then, on the other hand, then we can say our choices matter, but God isn't really in control. And then that leads to pridefulness. This is kind of broadly, and what we put under these are like, what do you want to say? Traditions of thought. So really that purposelessness is nihilism. It's come from Nietzsche and kind of the idea that maybe I shouldn't ascribe to Nietzsche. That'd be an overstatement on his philosophy, but it's this idea, it's usually accredited or ascribed to him, of nihilism, which is everything is kind of meaningless and purposeless. But then prideful, in terms of our choices matter, but God isn't in control, is really this humanistic approach. Like, it's all just about what we want and what we want to aspire to, and so it ends up with pride because I don't need God. I can do it on my own. What usually happens if you live your life that way is maybe for a while it works for you, and then you become arrogant and puffed up. Or what happens is it doesn't work out, and because it's like, I don't need God. I did it. Look what I did. I'm God. Or I couldn't do it. I'm not worth anything. Mm-hmm. And then we just get burnt out in life and kind of give up, right? So that's usually where that goes. Then you have on the other side where maybe our choices don't matter, but God is in control. Met a lot of Christians in this place, and this is where you get kind of that passive, and the tradition is fatalism.
Yeah,
doesn't matter what I do, I'm a puppet, I'm a robot. And what happens is we begin over time, usually, everything that doesn't work out in life, we blame God. Hmm. Scripture presents these as both equally true. This is not an either or a problem to be solved. Oh, God's got it. God's sovereign, so therefore I don't have a calling. I can be passive here. I can just drift. That is trying to solve that problem between those two truths. No. What Scripture presents is not a problem to be solved. It's a tension to be managed, to be walked in faithfulness.
Yep.
I'm going to do what I every day when I wake up, what I feel God has called me to do. I'm going to do my part. My choices matter. But then also God is completely in control. And that leads to that last quadrant, which is it's purposeful. So we don't want purposeless, prideful, or passive. We want purposeful. This is theism. This is the biblical view. That it is purposeful, that we would, our planning is purposeful. There's a purpose. And we understand it's not perfect. But at the same time, it is the faithful response. So we want to be purposeful. And that's why, part of why this overall, this tool is helping us do that. Like, we don't just show up and go, decision, just make a decision plan. No, it's framed in light of God's glory, yep. God's calling, right? Down to this. So that's one of the things I would actually even, you know, it has, you know, reflection questions there, which are like, which quadrant best describes. Hopefully this unpacks a little bit more the thinking behind it, because it's pretty much presented. And then I think most will, the reason why we left it there is most will intuit what's being said there. But I think it's really helpful to think through, why have I gone through seasons of life where I assume that God was just sovereign and it wasn't? And a lot of times what you'll find there is, it's like, oh, I didn't want to deal with my insecurities about the fact that I'm not as great at that thing as I thought I was. I haven't been as successful as I thought. Well, it just didn't work out. God's sovereign. Well, maybe you just didn't have a plan. You didn't actually do the steps.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just weren't as good as you thought. Maybe that's why you never became an NFL wide receiver, right? Like, these are, it's helpful for us to be honest with ourselves. And then you go, you know what? Before, I just didn't show up and study. God provided a roadmap for me to show up to university and get into that major, and I just didn't do the work. Well, in this season of life, did you learn your lesson and now you're willing to do the work? Stop trying to blame him. Right. So the reason why these things aren't working out, God has been gracious. He has opened doors. And now you need to show up and invest in your marriage, in relationships with other men and women, with your children. And so I think that's the thing that I sense, is I've spent a lot of my life blaming others and blaming God, when really at the end of the day, there was no plan and no steps. So there's, in other words, I guess the word here would be accountability.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is a really helpful tool for processing that stuff. Really excited for people to be able to kind of look through that and walk through that. So beyond that, then, where do people move as they continue to work down through this?
So the other side of that, then, you know, I just kind of gave the chastising myself and others. and here is then the other side, which is, you do. God has given you this agency. And it's a beautiful thing that we actually have agency. We have moral agency and culpability with that. You are not an animal. Your life doesn't have to be. You are not a beast of the field. You are made in the image of God. And so therefore, you have the ability to create, like to be a sub-creator, to create, to cultivate. And so then the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? And so it walks you through how to develop steps that you will take. So a lot of times what this is to be clear, not only now have we said, okay, I'm going to make a plan, here's where I'm going, but now we're going, okay, now how am I going to actually focus down and actually commit to what I will do? And so a well-known framework for this, or an acronym, is SMART goals or steps. Any SMART goal will have, or action steps towards a goal, will have. So let me be clear. Our goal is the vision statement, right? The action steps, the SMART steps, they will check 5 boxes. SMART. First, simple. S, simple. That the goals will provide individual small steps towards your goal. These, in other words, simple. These are simple little bite-sized steps or chunks that if I do this every day, if I do it every week, if I do it every month, then it will be one of those 1,000 steps that eventually I will read a page every day over the course of 2 months. I read a book.
Yeah.
Right. So each of these things, I showed up. And by the way, these are, well, let me get to the next ones. Measurable, that these avoid abstraction. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a book. Okay. So I'm going to, so one of your goals or your steps is, I'm going to read a book. Great. How are you going to do, like, measurable? I'm going to read so many pages a day. I'm going to read one book a month.
Yeah.
It's measurable. Did you do it or didn't? The question here is, when you get done with it, do you ever know when you're going to get done? and if you did it, mm-hmm. right? Well, tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, it's got to be measurable. And feel free to jump in with any of these as I'm going. The next one is actionable. The ones that you have the ability to influence and complete, mm-hmm. right? So if you're saying that I am going to, I will become, like, let's say I'm going to become the starting shooting guard for the Chicago Bulls. Do I have any?
Yeah.
I wanted to take this opportunity on the Discipleship Pathway podcast to announce this.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So if I wanted to have that goal, well, do I really have any ability to influence that? Probably not. Right. So think very carefully about, do you have the ability with your time?
Yeah.
Like if you're saying, oh, 9 to 5, I'm going to do that. But you have a job that demands you're in the office from 9 to 5. Not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So is this actually actionable? And is it in that way? Is it, well, that leads to the next one, relevant. So smart, SMAR, relevant. Is it not only, are you able to do it, but is it influenceable and is it predictive?
Yeah.
Is it relevant to the outcome? So if you say, oh, your goal is to have this marriage, this healthy marriage in 2 years. And then you say, well, what action steps are you going to take? And you say, I will next month take a parachute jumping course.
Hmm.
Cool. What does that have to do with, are you jumping out of an airplane with your spouse? So you get what I'm saying. Everyone,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And then timely, these are right for your vision in this season of life. So if you're going to, if in this season of life you're launching a business, mm-hmm. I gave this example, I think last episode, if you're starting a business and you know, I've done this before, okay, start a business, manufacturing, had to travel a lot, on the phone all the time, doing calls. I knew for a time, I'm doing everything from content, branding, marketing, sales, in terms of a lot of the beta testing. I've got to be out on the ground in geographical areas that are crisscrossing the country. If in the middle of that, I think that I'm also going to be able to develop new hobbies, I'm probably kidding myself.
Yeah,
it's not a season of life where I'm going to be able to do that. Thinking about, like, when you're in these different seasons, when you're in college, it affords you certain things. When you're retired, it affords you the opportunity to do certain things. When you are in the little stage with kids, it's going to be harder
mm-hmm.
to have the time for certain things. You've got to prioritize during that time, you know, your kids. You need to, and I would encourage them, invest in that time. It goes by so fast. It's worth it. It's just a matter of, so following that SMART acronym helps you think through, does this step, so when you write down, I'm going to take this step, I'm going to read a book next month. Okay, does that actually hit all these? Kind of does. Can I get more specific? Always ask that. Can I get more specific? All right, I'm going to read one chapter a night. I remember mm-hmm. when I did this once, I was one of our elders in my previous church, and he wanted to grow theologically. As part of his walk with God, it had always been very emotional, kind of mystical. He had developed kind of this conviction for God's word, and as he was coming in and becoming out, he's like, I really want to grow with theology, but I've never been a reader, and I really want to go deeper. And he's like, so looking at a big book on his nightstand intimidated him.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his goals, I remember, was I'm going to read a chapter a night. And we found some good books that had, you know, it was like 12 to 15 page chapters, normal book. And, you know, not real small font where you're like, this is really 40 pages, right? But normal size book. And he started just reading through. And after like a month, he was like, I'm reading through like a book every 2 weeks. Like, he was blown away. And he was like, and all I did was I did have to eliminate, and we're going to kind of see some of that. I had to eliminate just cruising through Netflix at night. But he started to get that win, and then realizing I'm able to do this. And he started identifying as I'm a reader.
Yeah.
I'm a leader. You know, leaders are readers and mm-hmm. readers are leaders. And he realized I am a leader who reads, and therefore as a reader, I'm becoming a better leader.
Yep.
And so it was really cool to see that.
Yeah.
And for him at that stage of life, some of us, you know, I came in where it was more the intellectual, and then the emotional had to come, the abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. Whereas for him, he had a lot of the emotional he was more charismatic background, more of that, but hadn't filled in the what do I really believe and know.
Yeah.
And so it was beautiful to see. So that's an example of that. But he had to get down from, I'm just going to read, and for years, I should read too. I'm going to read this much every day.
Yeah. So. Yep. Yeah, I love this for two reasons, this smart section. For me, being a, like, ideator, inventor, thinker, my wife is kind of my, like, smart goal for me sometimes. I'm like, hey, is that actually simple? Like, is that reasonable? Yep. Is that timely for us right now? But to even, like, sometimes just, like, sitting down and actually writing down, it's like, no, I can't. I just can't do that right now. Like, it's a good idea. Jesus had to say no to good things. Like, he was even, like, here, like, as he was walking around, like, he didn't just go around and heal everyone all the time, right? Mm. And so I have to, like, even just frame of, like, there's good things I have to say no to, which is really, really hard. And there was a really good note on focus from a guy that was under Jeff Bezos. And he was saying true focus is actually saying no to things that you're really, really passionate about and you really, really want to do. Like, that's what actually focusing is. And I think this helps me, like, evaluate, like, okay, I just can't do that thing right now because it's not simple. It's not timely for me based on my other priorities that I have going on. And the second reason I really like it is, we talk about, this terminology isn't here, but even, like, lead measures, lag goals, and the thing I really like about lead measures, which is this is the practical thing that you can do. If I can get to the end of a season and be like, okay, I sat down and I did all the things that I felt like the Lord had in front of me, I want to be satisfied and, like, I convictionally did what I could. I took the steps I needed to. Maybe I didn't get to my vision or my goal, but at least I can look back and be, like, satisfied in, no, I did what I could, and I tried for that thing.
And it leaves the room for trusting God for the outcomes, right? So that's one of the things about this is when we're saying, well, God's in control, but also what do I do? Well, those, like, kind of that part where it's actionable and relevant. It's influenceable and it's predictive of the final outcome. So we do this as our staff team does this, where it's like, okay, what are the number, let's say, of baptisms? 50 baptisms for the year, let's say. Well, that's great if you have that goal. At the end of the day, we know ultimately God's sovereign in who really comes to faith. Mm-hmm. Eyes are open. However, at the same time, we know in some sense we're called to this. We're culpable for pursuing this, where we have a responsibility. But we also are like, wait, but if we give a number or goal, is that a right thing? Yeah. Because now we're like, are we going to manipulate people? Well, we said that's our lag goal. Mm-hmm. Our lead measure is, okay, are we making sure the church is equipped? Do they know how to share the gospel? Mm-hmm. Do they have a sense of who's in their life they can share with? Are we modeling it for others by, let's say, I am going to share the gospel once a week, right?
Yep.
Like, let's say we each have those goals. Well, those lead measures become things, and we're going to highlight baptisms and let people share their testimonies. These are all lead measures that clearly we can do, but they all influence and are predictive of, well, guess what? If we're modeling this, championing it, celebrating it, equipping, instructing, encouraging towards this, the more we're able to do that on those lead measures, the more predictive and influencing, of course, we're going to see more baptisms.
Yep.
What happens is we go, well, we're not going to talk about the number of baptisms. We're not going to have a number down. And guess what? 5 years goes by, your church doesn't baptize anyone. Mm-hmm. Great, congratulations. You, quote unquote, trusted in the sovereignty of God, didn't manipulate anyone. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what you did? You avoided the issue. Mm-hmm. You avoided your responsibility and your calling. You didn't challenge yourself. Have fun hiding. Mm-hmm. Instead, we are called to go, what is God calling us to? How could we live in a city of 150,000 people, and if we're actually a light, reach no one? Now, if we do those things, no one's baptized. Well, guess what? Did we do those things?
Yeah.
And we can go back and assess, were those really predictive? Were they really influencing? But then you go back and go, you know what? God just didn't, praise God, we didn't feel like we had to manipulate anyone. Mm-hmm. We trusted him. We shared the gospel. And we're just in a season right now where this is how God is at work.
Yep.
Okay. You can rest in that.
Yep.
Right? So, or if you see 100 people get baptized, you go, well, praise God. Because God gave us wisdom and the steps to take, and then God showed up and he did. Neither one of those just end in pride, nor do they end up in passivity.
Yeah.
Right? So anyways, so that's kind of parallel to that, thinking of your own life. What are the things that are going to lead to those outcomes in your marriage, in your physical health, in your walk with God, in your understanding of your vocation and your career field, education? By the way, too, those different domains, you could have another one. I right now off the top of my head, I can't think of one. But you might have some kind of another goal that we didn't list in those domains. It's not like you're not allowed. I know originally we had like other, and I think somehow it didn't make it in there. But there can be others, right? But just lastly, what I'll close with is there is a, the last part that we have you do is just connect with the why. So why is this important to you? Why? This is going to bring you back to your main motivation. So you've gone through now looking at the destination, the overall call of God on your life. You've then looked at this individual area, and now you've gotten to making specific steps. And let's say, again, it's like being a great mom. And you want to honor God and how your mother and invest in this season where your kids are little. You want to grow as a mom. You want to all kinds of things, competencies, understanding, time with your kids, making. And then you get through planning all that. It's easy then to get disconnected. A month from now when you try to enact this, invariably there are going to be urgent things that come into life.
Yep.
You're going to have to make sacrifices to make it happen. And when you're reviewing and looking back at, have I been doing this, it's easy to go, never mind. What you need is you need some statements that are why statements. Why was this important? Why is this the bigger yes? Why is it for that elder who said, I'm going to read that I'm going to turn off the game, I'm going to turn off Netflix, or I'm just scrolling on social media because I want to accomplish this? It's going to be, in order to say no, you need a bigger why. And so it's helpful to have that at this point to pause and go, why? Return back to that why. Why? Because I want each of my children to live lives of faith filled with joy. If I'm a mother who invests, I think there's a better chance that my children are going to live lives of faith that are filled with joy. Because that's the deep thing that's, and one of the ways you can do this is ask why, like three, like, why is this important that I'd be a great mom? Oh, because I don't want others to think poorly of me. Well, that's probably not a great why. Maybe why is that important to you? Because just keep asking why, because I want my kids to thrive. Okay, why is that important to you? Because I believe that I play a pivotal role in them thriving. Okay, well, why do you believe it? And just keep going deeper and deeper until you get to three or four layers deep on that why, to why it really matters. Why does that matter to you? Why does that matter to you? And to access that. So that it kind of ends with that, to just write that down. And of course, the homework as you're working through this is just getting clear on those things so you can reference them. But then after that, the question is, all right, now you go, I got all this written down. What do I do with it? Mm-hmm. So the last step in the plan we're going to come back to is just scheduling it. How do you make room in your schedule? So we could talk. It'll be fun. We'll get into how we do that.
That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. We'll see you on the next episode as we continue to help you take your next steps in Christ.